before I begin the show, I just want to let everybody know I actually recorded this episode in my vehicle, and it was raining out, so I cleaned it up pretty good, but you still might hear a little snap pop, and I apologize for that, and hopefully it'll get better and everything like that. I just want to let everybody know this is recorded in the car for your enjoyment. Hello, everybody. This is Tracy Holtz, otherwise known as Holster to a lot of you out there. What I'm going to be doing here is having a short little series on cord cutting. And some people call it cable cutting, cord cutting, whatever you want to call it. Basically what it is you are not having traditional cable TV and or satellite dish. I have been cable cutting for a long time. Matter of fact, I was doing it before there was even a term for it. It was just, I didn't get it. I do have some experience in this, but one thing you realize the more you cable cut is the more you realize how little you know. There's always different ways. In this thing, there's 10 different ways to do almost everything. So by all means, this isn't the be-all, end-all, whatever you do. And I'm really looking for feedback from people to what they do in addition to this. Now, this first episode won't have everything in it. This one will just be a basic primer on basically how to get ready to cut your cable, because that is important. So let's jump right in it. The first thing you have to realize is the big misnomer for people when they want to cut the cable is they think they're going to cut the cable and all of a sudden they're going to start, you know, spending absolutely nothing on entertainment watching on your TV. That is a big misnomer. Cable cutting, you will spend money. It usually almost always is a lot less money, but you can actually spend more if you're not careful. So there's some stuff you have to do. Now, the first thing you have to have if you really want a good experience is an internet connection. Now, you are going to have some kind of high-speed internet. And it doesn't have to be super high killer high-speed, just not dial-up. I say that because the first 4 years I was cable cutting, I live out in the country, as a lot of you guys know. My internet speed was between 2 and 3 megabits per second, which is pretty slow. It's just in the last 3 to 5 months, I forgot how long I've had it, they upgraded our internet where we're at, and I can get 15 megs down, and it is a lot better. Now, I will say, the closer you can get to 15 plus megabits per second, the happier you're going to be. When I had 2 to 3, only one of us could stream at once. Me and my wife, only one of us could stream something online at a time. It wasn't that big of a deal because I would just grab stuff and watch it offline. I watched a lot of YouTube videos, stuff like that. So we'll get in later some of the service I used to grab those YouTube videos just to watch them offline. And I'm not just talking, you know, like funny cat videos on there. There is a lot of entertainment, good quality entertainment on YouTube. Even History Channel shows, BBC documentaries, National Geographic documentaries, all that kind of stuff there. So you are going to need an internet connection. Okay? And the closer you can get to 15 up, the better. Now, with your internet connection, you're going to have to realize you are going to be using a lot more internet than you probably did before. Check out bandwidth caps, what you have for your line. Now, with bandwidth caps, there's a couple different things you have to look at. Some have caps, but have absolutely no ramifications if you go over the cap. You'll just, every gig or two you use over, you'll get an email from them saying, hey, you're over the cap, hey, you're over the cap. The month resets, and it does that every month, and you're fine. Other ones, you get penalized for every meg or gig you go over the cap, where you get a penalty on there. And then another type is if you go over, you automatically get pushed up to the next higher cost plan. So you have to figure that out. Look at your contract. If you don't know, call your internet provider and just plain ask them, say, on what I have now, is there an internet cap? And don't say unlimited, because they have unlimited plans that are capped. This is the marketing thing. You have to ask them if you are capped. And if they say yes, ask them, what is the cap amount? And if you're really worried, most of them will offer some kind of online checking or something like that where you can see the data you used. There's also stuff you could put on your router or get a special router that will do that and so forth, just so you can see what you're using when you're using it. So please watch your caps, because you will use a lot more than you think. Secondly, I would highly advise in your homes to have network cables run instead of wireless. Yes, you can run wireless, and yes, your internet speed will be less than 100 megabits per second and your wireless is running at that, but everybody knows the wired is more stable, less to worry about. You don't have to worry about all that, so you will be happier if you run cable. Now, if you have a two-story home, you're trying to get it into a room on the other side on the first floor, and it's almost impossible without going outside your house, okay, well, then use wireless if you can do that. But always try to run wired cables and run wired instead of wireless. The next thing you should look at is your router. You should try to get a router, and most people listening to Hacker Public Radio will know this, but just in case somebody shares this with somebody that doesn't know, right now there's two basic speeds for wired on routers. There's 10.100 and 10.100/1000. The 1000 is your gigabit, basically. Now, when you get a router, try to get a router that's 10.100/1000. That's a more just in case you need it than anything else. If you have a 10.100 and it's working fine, don't say, oh, I got to go change it because I need this. Odds are you won't need that much speed, but it's always nice. If you're planning on upgrading your stuff to go cable cutting, make sure besides having a wireless N, which pretty much everything will, make sure the switch that's built into the router is 10.100/1000. That's kind of an important deal for down the line, more than it is now. Or if you have more than four or five people, you know, four or five or more using it at once, that will make a difference when you're all on the wired, especially if you get two, three people streaming HD at one time, you got a good high-speed internet coming in. You could run into some issues down the line if somebody's downloading something and you got some people watching high def stuff like that. So on your router, on the switch built in, make sure if you're upgraded it says 10.100/1000. Okay, the next thing you're going to need is, this isn't mandatory, but it will make your life a lot easier, is if you don't have any CRT TVs. Those are those big, old, heavy, clunky TVs. Get yourself a nice flat screen, you know, or, you know, whether it's plasma, LCD, that's up to you. I don't get the super high end. There's when you get a new TV, and most people will know this too, there's basically two channels you can go down for cable cutting. Apps built onto the TV and apps not built onto the TV. I will get into it later of what apps I use, but I really don't get the TV with the apps built in. Now, there is some coming up down the line that might intrigue me that I'm starting to read about at this last CES, but I usually get the ones without, or if I did get one with, I probably would hardly ever use it, you know, because I like plugging stuff into the TV instead of that. Now, the reason I say that for the CRT is pretty much all CRTs do not have HDMI plugins, and you're going to want HDMI plugins because almost everything coming out nowadays is going to be HDMI. If your TV only has two HDMI inputs and you need more and you got a good deal on the TV and you're getting it, that's fine. Don't say, I have to get this other TV so I can get more HDMI inputs. You can get an HDMI switch. An HDMI switch is just like it sounds. It takes one of your HDMI ports in your TV, and you can get a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 port switch. Usually they come in even numbers, though, where you can turn that one port on your TV into multiple ports. Another thing handy on your TV is a USB port. Okay, the USB port can be used for a couple things, but one really thing it's starting to get used for more and more is actually power for little different devices you might plug into the HDMI. So that's for the TV. The next thing you probably want to get is a really good TV HD antenna. Now, the stuff I'm talking about now is stuff you probably want to do before you even cut the cable, so you are ready. Now, an HD antenna does not have to be really expensive. I am a long ways away from where the TV towers are at. I'm probably, for most people, am farther away than anyone else. And the further away you are from these TV towers, the bigger, stronger antenna you need. My antenna I have is only 10, 15 inches wide, 2 feet long, and about a foot, three quarters of a foot high. Really small. And it's good up to 75 or 100 miles, I forgot, away. And I get crystal clear. One thing I notice when people come over to my house that have cable TV and or satellite, and we watch a hockey game over the air or a football game over the air, one of the first things everyone says is how great quality it is. That's because the stuff you're getting from satellite and the stuff you're getting from cable is compressed and then decompressed. So now you guys know that anytime you do that, you do lose some quality. Over the air is not compressed for the HD. So there is a visible difference in the quality that you get over the air and not over the air. So you don't have to spend a lot of money on an antenna for this, minus 50 bucks. If you live fairly close, you can get the Leaf antenna. The Leaf antenna is great. It's inside. It's almost completely flat. You can put it up on a wall, and you can even put like a picture or something over it so you don't even see it. Just Google Leaf antenna, and you will see what I'm talking about. If you live closer, you could get away with that. And if you're in an apartment, it's kind of hard to put an antenna up. Now, a friend of mine put the same antenna that I got up in his attic, and he's perfectly fine. We're about the same distance from the tower, but I have a Galvalume metal roof, which would have interfered with it. He did not. He just has shingles. He's perfectly okay inside the attic. The reason I bring that up is you're in an apartment building. You might be able to get the same antenna that I have, just put it on a little stand and put it up in the air up by the ceiling, point it to the towers, and I bet you you'll be okay. So if you're in an apartment, there's other ways you can do this too. Now, if you have a satellite dish right now, you can actually use the same mounts from your satellite dish to mount your antenna. So you don't even have to add mounts to your roof, to your side of your wall, or everything like that. Just take the old dish down when you're done, put this antenna up, and you're good to go. And if you, in advantage of that, is a coaxial cable is already run for you. So get a good antenna for all your local channels, and you don't have to worry to get your local channels for that. The next thing is, when you cut the cable, is probably the most important thing when you're cutting the cable, is if you're married, getting spouse approval. Whether your wife wants to cut the cable, get the husband, or if you're a husband and you want to cut the cable, get the wife. That is probably the biggest. It took me about 6 months, a year, working on my wife to cut the cable. And we actually started off by doing everything cutting the cable, but still have the cable. And after 3-4 weeks showing her what to do, how to do it, she was fine. She was like, okay, I understand. It wasn't as what I thought it was going to be. We're okay. We can do this. I really recommend everybody to start cutting the cable, doing the stuff you want to do before you actually cut the cable. barring you have to do it pretty quick for financial reasons or stuff like that. There's a lot of people doing it for financial reasons, cutting the cable because they just can't afford it anymore. Then cut the cable, get rid of it, and learn on the go. But if you have time, it's best to do both at once so you both understand what to do, how to do, and then you can really see what you're going to miss. For me, what I missed most was at that time, it was hard to get. Everybody knows, if you know me, I really like hockey and baseball. Football to me is just something to watch, you know, but it was hard to get hockey and football games. Almost all the local games in the Dallas area here for the Stars and the Texas Rangers were on cable, so they weren't over the air. There was probably only 3 games a month over the air. The rest of them were on the local Fox affiliate. So that's what I missed. But shortly after I cut the cable, they came out with a couple online ways to watch it. The MLB and then the NHL Game Center Live, where I pay a certain amount a year and I get all the games from all the TV, you know, all the games. Now, local games are blacked out. I'm not saying that you could or not do this, but if you guys understand what proxies are, it's not a big deal. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. So it's what my whole goal with this last part here is, you will need spouse approval to do this. If your spouse or you love the live experience of TV, where you watch the season finale of show X, whatever show X is, you love getting it and chatting online at the same time it's on, you might not like cable cutting as much. If you have to talk about the show the next day at work all day, and it's not over the air where you can't watch it live, it might not be for you. Okay. But an advantage of cutting the cable and all this is generally you save a little more time because the different ways you watch it will almost always have less commercials, whether it's watching it on the network sites and all that. And in one of the next shows, I will talk about the different ways I watch stuff. This first show is just setting up the cable cutting and getting ready to cable cut, because this is the part that most people overlook and have the hardest part with. But spouse approval is probably the biggest part of cable cutting people don't look at, and it usually becomes the friction point why people go back to having cable, because they really never thought about it, planned it out, and decided what each other's likes and dislikes are. The next thing you should do is just jot down on a piece of paper. You can do this or on your phone for notes. Do this in your line at the store. You know, do it as you're watching a TV show, watching a game. Jot down what you like to watch. And it doesn't necessarily have to be specific shows, but I would put specific shows down there and what shows your spouse likes to watch. But categories. For me, it was, you know, hockey, baseball, and documentaries, like, you know, History Channel documentaries and, you know, stuff like that I really liked. And stuff I found out that I, and this is my own ignorance that I found out that I got back to, is do not forget about the PBS documentaries. You know, Nova has some great ones. There was one on last year on the Viking sword. I've watched that about 4 times because I pick stuff up every time. If you guys haven't seen that, it's a Nova show. It's called, you know, it's from Nova. It's the Viking sword. It's unbelievably good documentary. And I really forgot about how good some of the documentaries on there are. So, and I'll, like I said, another show here, I'll get with you guys on different apps and shows and stuff like that. But write down everything you like to watch, categories you like to watch, and ways you can get them without having cable and or satellite. And then you can discover, how can I watch this stuff if I don't have it? You know, you can look at, if your show's on NBC, go to NBC.com, see if they have it on there. A lot of times it's the next day or a couple days later, and ABC's going to 20 days later. What ABC, all is they're doing there is they are killing their online presence. They're really trying to push you to Hulu, the Hulu Plus account. It's 20 days later, and all is they're doing is they are just pushing their torrent traffic's up for their shows. That's all they're doing, you know. And one thing I see in this is the networks right now are doing the same thing the music industry did in the mid-90s when MP3 started. They're dragging their feet, and they're having their fingers in the ear trying to control it like they have been. TV networks are doing the same thing, and they're killing themselves right now. They could be making probably more money online monetizing it that way than they are on TV, monetizing it on TV, because their viewage would be up. But hey, that's another thing, another time. But just look around how you can watch the shows you like to watch and where you want to watch. What it basically comes down to is habits. Same thing if you're a smoker and you quit smoking. If you smoke for a long time and you quit smoking, the nicotine need is there. But after a week or two, you know the nicotine need isn't there really that much. It's habits. It's what you're doing. You know, it's a habit, something in your hand, something in your mouth. You like going over there at that particular time. It's habits. The exact same thing is when you watch TV is your habits. I do this to watch TV. I do this to TV, and that to watch TV. And the cable companies and the satellite companies know that, and they try to ingrain you more and more on those habits. So basically, it's breaking the habits to watch what you want to watch. And the last little thing is different devices. And this will just be a very quick, and we'll go more detailed on the next episode. There's different devices you're probably going to want to plug into your TV. The number one and the easiest way to do everything, and people don't realize this, everybody jumps on Roku right away. I disagree with that, is get a computer that has an HDMI output, and you can get a video card with an HDMI out, plug it into the TV, get a wireless keyboard and mouse, you're done. That can do pretty much everything you want to do, and almost everybody that knows how to work a computer, you're done. And almost everything you want to do, whether you have a Roku or a different device, you can do on the computer too. So that is probably the easiest way to get going, is a computer. Now, it will cost more. It uses more electricity, but you can turn it down when it's not in use. Another thing is, like I said a second ago, is the Roku. The Roku is probably my favorite device that I like. I got three Rokus. Anytime I travel, one goes with me. In my hotel room, I plug it in, I'm good to go. I have everything I need with me. Coming up here, I'll be going to the Northeast Linux Fest. You guys will see a Roku in my room I'm staying at. That's just what I do. When I go to hotels now and I turn the TV on, there's nothing but garbage on, realistically. I went to Austin a couple weeks ago to get my concealed handgun instructor certificate, and they had cable at the hotel. So I turned it on, and there was a reality show on every channel. I said, okay, let me go turn to the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel had a reality show on it. I couldn't understand. I don't see the entertainment value in those. Some people do, but I don't. So I flipped over to my Roku and I was happy. So you can also, if you have an Xbox, you know, you can use an Xbox to do some of this stuff here. Apple TVs out there. You know, there's a lot of different devices, and everybody asks me what's the best. And that's a super hard question to tell somebody. The best is what you like using the most. I can tell you what is the easiest, and that's what I told you already, is the computer. Hands down, it's easiest. You know what to do. Everything is there. So, again, this is just the first episode in the series. There'll be some more. I'll start recording some of the next day or two and get them up, and Hacker Public Radio will publish them out and space them out as they see fit. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have any questions, comments, please email me at tracy@podnuts.com. T-R-A-C-Y @podnuts.com. So if you're doing something that I haven't talked about, we'll talk about that more. Again, this is just basic stuff you want to think about before you even decide to cut the cable to kind of get your ducks in a row. So I hope this was enjoyable to everybody. We'll get more in detail later in the further episodes, like I said. So everybody have a great day, great week, and start thinking about cutting the cable.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.